Microsoft Teams, which the House Executive are in kind attendance. So David, Jonathan, Loma and Albiol, very welcome. And apologies to everybody's affiliate switch from Skype to Teams. I suppose it's the joys of our modern technology, but hopefully now we're all present and accounted for. Before we move on to the standard intros, I did want to mention our colleague, Harold McKee, our current Deputy Chair of Council. As many of you know, Harold hasn't been well in the past couple of weeks, but I'm pleased to hear that he's making some good progress. But I know you'll all share with me in keeping Harold and his family in our thoughts and prayers over the coming days. And perhaps maybe Sarah and Democratic Services could send a wee card to Harold and Maura, just to let all of the keys know that we're thinking of them and we're wishing Harold a speedy recovery. Also in terms of thanks, I also want to thank Loma and her local team in particular for your support and assistance last week in terms of the Newcastle floods. Obviously, it was a very difficult day for the town and for its residents. I think the assistance and compassion of the Housing Executive team, along with our officers and council and the multi-agency approach that day, was really very much appreciated. So thank you to everybody. I suppose now we look at the standard introductions. I think we're really sick of hearing these words. We'll go through them all again. We're currently in unprecedented times, and we ask for everyone's full cooperation to adhere to the new guidelines with regard to the conduct of the meeting. Everybody should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the message facility during the meetings, and anyone found to do so may be given a warning. And I suppose just to advise people, failure to adhere to that and could be asked to be removed from the meeting. I'd ask members, remind members of their obligations of the Code of Conduct to clarify financial or significant non-financial interests which you may have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have any such interests, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, given the item of business related to. And having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up the call for the duration of discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where council is considering and exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. And please ensure if you do wish to speak on an item that you use the instant message chat facility to indicate that you want to speak, and I will bring in members as listed, and Democratic Services as ever will keep me right in that regard. And I suppose just to remind members as well to refrain from any other comments on the instant message facility. So, and that's all the formalities. I suppose before I hand over to the House Executive for their presentation, maybe ask them to give us a wee introduction. Sorry, let's see. Sorry, Cadogan, if we could hold off there for the time being. We're going to move to the House Executive officials, and perhaps if they ask if they wouldn't mind introducing themselves with their titles and then moving forward for the presentation. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'll start off. My name is David Moore. I'm the Director of Corporate Services, and I'll let the others introduce themselves.
Thank you, David.
My name is Jonathan Glees. I'm the Regional Manager for the South Area.
Hi, Laura and everyone. Loma Wilson, Area Manager for South Down.
Thanks, Loma.
Hi everyone, my name is Alva Hickey and I'm Head of Place Safety for South Region.
Thanks very much, Alva. And maybe perhaps just to move to you guys and see who's going to go ahead with the presentation first of all, if that's okay.
Yes, I think was it Sarah was going to put the slide on the screen for us, and then I'll take it through the presentation, but the others will chip in at different times through the presentation as well.
Perfect, that's great. Maybe if we can ask members to refrain, keep their comments or their questions to the end of the presentation, and we'll take things from there, if that's okay. Thank you.
I don't see the option there, Sarah Louise, for me to take control of that, so it may be they'll need you just to move through the slides for me, if that's okay?
Yeah, that's no problem.
Okay. Look, first of all, just to say thank you for the opportunity to present and to meet with you this evening. We've already introduced the team. As I said, my name is David Murray, Director of Corporate Services. I've been in the housing executive now for just over a year, so still feel very much a new person in the organisation, and I'm very conscious of the fact that they still have a lot to learn. So I'm delighted that the team are here with me today. You will know members of the team, I think, well, particularly Loma and Alva. So I suppose one of the things that we always wanted is to have one of the directors here during the presentation. And I suppose one of the main reasons for that is for us to listen and to understand what's happening in some of the local areas. So that's certainly my focus this evening. I would also say that the presentation is really just a bit of a scene setter. And I'm very conscious that most of the meeting this evening will really take the form of Q&A, and the team will take a majority of those questions as we go through, as we get to that stage of the presentation, or sorry, after the presentation. So I think the slides have disappeared on my screen, but I'm not sure if they're coming back up again. But the first slide, is it just me, or are the slides disappeared for everybody?
Are they not there for me at this moment in time?
Sorry, Loma, can I just check? Did you take over control?
Loma,
I didn't think I did. Right, have you taken over control? Oh.
Somebody has...
No, I hadn't pressed anything, right, so what do you want me to do?
It's okay, I take it back, it's okay. Okay. Just, I was wondering...
The joys of technology. I hope that my broadband will be okay. Living out in the country a little bit, the broadband signal can come and go. So if that happens, one of the other team are trying to take over the presentation. So
yes, David, you're breaking up quite badly actually when you're talking.
Am I?
Loma, if you can click, there's a button at the very top.
Yeah.
That I'm press control. Can you click allow?
Yeah, that's it now. Yeah.
I might turn off my video to see if that helps.
Suggest maybe we can all turn our video off, because sometimes that can help. Sorry for interrupting.
Okay, well, look, hopefully people can hear me, and if there's a problem, no doubt someone will shout, and I'll hand over to somebody else. But if we go to the first page there, just the overview, I mean, the reason... why we are here, and there's a few reasons for that. One is, of course, we have a statutory requirement to report on our plans and our performance, but we do also really want to engage with our stakeholders and to do that in a meaningful way. And as a, you know, as a partner within the community planning process, we want to make sure that what we're doing it aligns with the community plans for the various council areas and your own community plan for Newry, Moray and Down to 2030. Last year, if you move on to the next one, each of these meetings, we do want to listen to the issues that are raised locally, and we want to spend some time reflecting on those, responding to those. So again, after the meeting this evening, if specific questions and we need to respond to, we will follow up in writing. Some of the issues that were raised last year were around, you know, specific areas around unmet housing needs and the lack of new build, particularly I think in Newry. Some concerns on how we identify and deliver on rural housing, and some specific issues as well around ground maintenance. In terms of how we respond to that, through the commissioning prospectus, we do want to engage with, and we do engage with housing associations on site identification. Likewise with rural housing, we will look at the needs testing and we'll identify sites as well. And I think Alva particularly will be in ongoing meetings with yourselves through the DEA meetings, and so there very much is an ongoing conversation around those particular needs and issues. We do also, through our inspections, you know, look at what's happening within particular issues around ground maintenance, for example, and we do try to improve our performance management of our contracts to ensure that those issues are addressed. I'm not going to pretend that those issues have all gone away, and there have been challenges, I know, over recent months as well, and no doubt some of those issues will again be raised during the Q&A. So if you move to the next slide there. You will have received a copy of the Grayling Investment Plan, and you will also have received a copy of our COVID booklet that we've developed for elected members. It is probably worth just at this stage just reflecting a little bit on the last number of months and the plans obviously for last year. We're looking back on what was achieved last year, but I think over the last few months it's been a difficult time for all organisations, including ourselves. We've all faced a number of challenges. I think as an organisation, we were very clear at the start that we wanted to try and ensure continuity of service for our customers. And at the very initial stage of the pandemic, we did have to limit our services to emergency repairs only, for example. But as time has gone by, we've been able to increase our service provision. And a lot of that has obviously been through remote contact with customers. We have a lot of challenges in our own staffing situation. Of our 3,000 or so staff, 3,200 staff, we were able to get 2,250 of those working remotely very quickly. Other staff, of course, needed to continue to come into the office. Other staff remote working wouldn't be an appropriate solution. For example, in our direct organization, I plan for 430 staff in the team. So we did make strides there, I think, to continue with our service provision.
David, sorry for interrupting. You seem to be breaking up very, very badly there. I'm not too sure whether it's my signal here in Castle Ellen, but it's quite difficult to make out. I'm wondering maybe, not that I want to oust you at all, would somebody else maybe be able to take over? I'm just not sure whether the reception might be the same for other members, but it is quite difficult to make out at this end, if that would be possible.
Yeah, okay. Johnny, are you happy to come in?
Johnny, here. Can you hear me okay?
Well, can indeed, Johnny. Thank you, Sir David. Thank you for that.
That's all right. David was right that our priority was to try and get a continuity of service, and I suppose as the lockdown progressed, we were able to get more and more services up and running. But our focus really was on that initial stage on emergency repairs. We managed to do that very well, I think. Great credit to the office, but. What was remarkable, I think, as well, was the proactive work that we did. We managed to get a list of all our vulnerable tenants and all those the higher age groups and contact them. So we had our officers ringing them, making sure that they were okay and if they needed anything. But the other thing I think was important was working with the community groups and working with other agencies. That's something I think that we need to continue to do. So as we progress through the months, we're trying to get more and more services up and running. And we're very conscious of the need to continue to invest and to invest in our communities and in our own stock to make sure the house building is going, because we're conscious also of some of the socio-economic issues that might hit in the months ahead. Do you want to move on to the next slide? So another issue maybe I would maybe mention there, specifically in Newry, was the work we did with rough sleepers. We made a decision across the organisation that we would try and make sure there was no rough sleepers anywhere in our towns or cities. And the team, Loma, and I worked with others in the area. So there was no rough sleepers in Newry. We had to look at some people who were not necessarily local people as well, and make sure those that didn't have recourse to public funds were able to get accommodation. So that was another kind of focus of that period. Now we're moving on to the investment, and this investment looks at the work that we did really in the year up to the end of March 2020. And you can see it's a substantial amount of money going in to help improve people's lives and housing in the area. I suppose the biggest one there you can see there is our planned schemes, over seven million. And we also have repairs, grounds maintenance, adaptations. And that's to our own stock. And while it's a good bit of money, I think that we would like to be spending more. In that area, we realise that there's a great need of investment in our stock. It's getting older. We're not building any new stock, so we really need to do that. So, you know, hopefully when we get longer term contracts in place, we can focus on getting that that work carried out. Also, you can see the work that we do with supporting people, the vulnerable people in society, that money going into different organisations across different sectors. It's very, very important to support people who can't necessarily live by themselves in their house. So it's a range of services. If you want to move on to the next slide then. This is something that you should be aware of, the kind of the growth in population. And I suppose that's an important part of our planning going ahead, the type of housing that we need. And you'll be aware of the rising growth of that 65 plus predicted growth. So we've just developed an older people strategy, which looks at not just our services, but also what kind of facilities we need in our houses and elsewhere. But it is something that we need to be very, very conscious of in terms of our planning going ahead. Our next slide then. Is it a slide that really just breaks down, you know, the type of housing in areas, nothing really different in Newry and the other areas. You can see that we are in around 10-11% of the total stock. That is common across there, but I suppose anybody who's been with the housing executive for a while, or some of yourselves been working with us, would have seen the growth of the private rented sector, and I suppose the decrease in our stock. Really, you know, we have sold over 100,000 houses in our history as well. So that is depleting. It's obviously something we want to look at. We're always keen to get make the case for new housing, new social housing, and also make the case for us to build again as an organisation. Okay, next slide. Sorry, the waiting list then, you can see that it's quite constant, that top figure of the number of people in the Newry Mourne areas. The two, I suppose, things that would worry us, concern us, would be the high number of those in housing stress, which is probably a truer indication of housing need in areas, and also the number of allocations. You can see has dipped slightly, and that's the number of houses we're giving people. So people, what we're finding, are staying longer in their houses and not giving up houses as easily, which I suppose puts a bit more pressure. The next slide. Yes, just the numbers of those in is really about the breakdown, and you can see there the vast majority of those are single people, still quite a few families, but older people. So the majority of people on our waiting list are single people, there isn't not just in the social sector, but then maybe the housing stock just for one bed places and things like that. So, you know, it's something that we need to consider when we're looking at our plans. The next slide then on homelessness. Maybe Loma will come in a bit on this with a local knowledge, but the biggest really areas are about accommodation not being suitable and the loss of rented accommodation. But Loma, do you want to add anything there? No.
Maybe on mute, Loma, are you?
Hold on. Sorry. Yeah, got me now. Yeah, the figures there had just slightly dipped, but just that accommodation not reasonable across the board, across the province, would be the main reason that people would present as homeless. And just to explain what that means, because I think a lot of people would maybe assume that's around property unfitness. That is one of the categories, but it also relates to physical health. So linked to what Johnny was saying, those with mobility issues and people maybe who are living in houses and can't manage stairs anymore, maybe because they're elderly, would fall into that bracket. People who are in accommodation that's overcrowded. But also what we're seeing more and more is people coming to us with complex needs. So mental health issues can fall into that as well. So it's not just the physical end, but that would be across the board. That would be common that that's your top indicator. Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on to the next slide then. Yeah, I suppose this is one of the most important issues, is the new build program. So I think we've a good story to tell in the Newry Moore district. I think we've started to see a lot more houses on site and more planned. Alva, do you want to go into any details? Are you there?
Hello. Yes. Yeah. Just in relation to the new build and SHDP. So in 1920, 52 new homes were completed. The details of those are in Appendix 3 on page 57 of the HIP. Out of the 52, 24 were in rural areas and the rest were in urban areas. In terms of the position at the 31st of March 2020, there were 295 units on site across the council area. So that would have included the Ardmore Road in Newry, the Carnegat Road, Lindsay's Hill, Pound Lane and Dunpatrick, the first phase of that having got on site. So that was a scheme that we were pushing for quite a while, and Cross Carrick. So out of the 295 units that were under construction, about just under 70 of those were in rural areas. In terms of the programme, so we're reviewing that at the minute, but as it currently sits, there are we have a projection for just under 1,900 units, and the growth social housing development programme shows 824 units. That's about 1,000 units left where need has still been identified and required to be met, and the details of those are included in our commission prospectus, which we publish with the Social Housing Development Programme, and that is to direct housing associations in their site search. And we will be engaging with them throughout the year in relation to, you know, housing, unmet housing need in those areas.
Okay. Next slide. So we'll obviously part of this is the consultation with yourselves, and we managed to look at our outcomes. I suppose one of the things that we plan to do in the next few weeks is we'll firm up our programme of improvement works. We've had to pause a lot of that over the lockdown period, and we're starting to put more work on site. So our priority really is those schemes that had started and then had to be paused. So we're looking at our programme of work, and once we get that, we will send that in to yourselves. And I suppose that, you know, the collaboration, I think the previous slide, the work in terms of getting new build on the ground, working with contractors has really stemmed from the interest that the council yourselves has had over recent years. So hopefully we can continue on that and get to see more housing and better housing in your areas. So that's all we had. I know there were some questions, I think, that had been sent to us, but we're happy to take any questions.
That's great, Johnny. Thanks very much, and thanks to the team. And apologies to David there for cutting them out. Thank you. So I think the first question there was one from Councillor Enright. Councillor Enright, do you want to go ahead?
Yes, thank you. Just looking to confirm the telephone number for housing allocation issues in Dunpatrick with the office staff off. You can't go in and make an appointment with them, you know?
Loma, do you want to send the... Oh, sorry. Loma, do you want to send the details of that?
Yes, Cadogan. Yes. I'll email you. I have your email address, so I can send you the contact numbers, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sorry, thanks, Terry. I think Councillor Andrews, your question's next there.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's just more or less I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Brona and Loma and all the Down Public Office of the Housing Zagreb for the excellent work that they do, and especially in the circumstances that we're in, they've all done a sterling job. So thanks. More or less, I do welcome the presentation tonight. I think it's very good. It's just two or three points, and I won't hog the floor. You know, in relation to the housing zagreb, are there any plans in working with housing associations? We have a lot of elderly residents who live alone and who like to downsize, you know, to properties that would be appropriate to them. And I do welcome the comments about the Northern Ireland House Executive engaging in building once more. But the post-COVID, what plans or what measures have the House Executive got in place for people who are going to be affected by the economic downturn, for example, rent arrears, et cetera? You know, a lot of that, but hopefully that'll not be too bad, but no, we'll just worry about the future, especially with people losing jobs, et cetera. And also, in relation to the point system, is there any prospects of the point system being looked at, for example, people who live locally, would like to live local, but they can't, and just due to people having more points than applicants would have. As I said, that's some of the points that I would like to raise. And as I say, it's a very good presentation. And as I say, I appreciate all the work that the local office and yourselves do. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Terry. If it might take my contempt to answer Terry's question, then we'll only be after a couple of questions in the one go. But if we can deal with Terry's one first of all, that'd be great.
Appreciate the thanks. That's an interesting point about elderly people maybe downsizing and things like that. And something maybe we'll look at the older people's strategy. It's actually something we've been focusing at really with the welfare reform and bedroom size, where we've maybe looked at trying to exchange, sort of a tenants exchange program, but maybe it's something we maybe could look at our older residents. We've maybe focused at younger people, so we'll take that on board. That's all right. I think you're right about the concerns about the economic issues that will be coming out. I think that it's been well reported the number of people who've applied under universal credit. While we will be trying to help people to seek the benefits and the that they're entitled to, I think that's going to be a real focus for us. And if you know the work Warren office have been really a flagship in terms of their work with accounts, and especially over this period, we don't want to see people losing their houses, but at the same time people need to get their rent paid as well, so we really want to work that's going to be a real bit of work for us. So maybe Loma could talk a little bit about what the office does there specifically. Just finally, at the point system, there was a review of allocations done by the department. I think that has been looked at by the minister and maybe by the assembly at a later stage. So that is in the pipeline. It might be worth just to hear some of the work that we do in terms of accounts. If that's all right.
Tony, thanks for your reply to the answers. Very much appreciated, and to yourself, Loma, as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Terry, just to pick up on what Johnny was saying there, for housing executive tenants, our accounts team and our patch managers are working really closely with them, treating everybody on an individual basis to provide advice and signposting. So fortunately, there's a lot of help out there. The Confederation of Community Groups, for those who are familiar with them in URI, are doing pilots around financial capability. I would flag up as well, there's a lot we can do for our tenants, but we're also trying to do a lot on the other side of the business for people who might be made homeless in the private rented sector. We have that coming our way too. So we are looking at what we can do to prevent homeless there and make sure that we have adequate temporary accommodation. So the Housing Executive does have a surge plan. We're in the midst of planning for the potential. We know what's going to come. We know there's going to be a spike, and we know that this isn't just short term. So there's a lot going on right, in the background there and that.
Loma, thanks so much. No, as I said, one for between yourself and Johnny has been very reassuring, very heartening. And that message connect to the communities, know that the housing executive is a listening ear. But thanks very much for all your help and support. That's me. Right. Thanks. Thank you. Sure.
Thank you, Terry. Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. I'd like to sort of echo the sentiments and thank the whole Housing Executive team for their efforts in the last number of years. I think we're starting to make real headway, particularly in Uri. And a lot of families and a lot of individuals are now in homes that maybe they wouldn't have had had we not taken the bull by the horns and pulled some form of strategy together that we have in recent years. There's just opportunities in Uri now at the minute. Obviously, we have a lot of developers coming to us, spearheaded by the council's regeneration scheme for the city centre. I'm just a little bit concerned looking at those numbers that, you know, I had one developer speaking to me this week, basically saying, when, and maybe Alva would be able to give me a bit of insight into this, that they had space potentially for 70 units, and the need was identified to them as only 24. Now, I work every day and see the need there at face value with people looking for housing. And I'm just wondering, would there be a potential there, given the fact that we are going into huge societal change where there will be a lot of social problems on the back of COVID, people losing their jobs, marital breakdowns, everything else, where we could potentially look at, you know, that that need on a maybe a phased basis, where maybe developers are looking with major schemes in particular, looking to phase that maybe over a 3-year period, where the need could be identified and specified on an annual basis, where maybe instead of 24, you get 24 1 year, 20 the next, maybe 12 the following year, depending on how fluid the situation is. And also the other element that I wanted to home in on was, you know, the potential use of modular housing to meet the temporary need. We all know, particularly speaking for Newry here mainly, but we all know the condition of some of the temporary accommodation that we're putting particularly single people in, and some of those people would have mental health issues or addiction issues, and it's no real place for them. It's not somewhere that they can make a fresh start. And I think that that's something we need to seriously look at, because it's low cost, it's high turnaround, and I think it'd be extremely beneficial. And the other element of it really is, you know, I think there's a huge opportunity, you know, to talk with developers more about encouraging them down the affordable route with housing associations, where there's not the same strain on the Department of Communities budget, and we can potentially, they can see more bang for their buck in the long term, and it also gives those tenants or homeowners, as they would be, a stake in any development that goes ahead. I think we need to change that narrative, because I think that's something that could encourage more development, particularly in the Newry area. And just lastly, I think on the back of COVID, it may be a good time for us to take stock on the impact that the sort of collaboration that has gone on over the last couple of years is making, and in relation to particularly the challenges we faced in Newry. And while I know that bringing large crowds of people together into one room is not something that we would be looking to do, certainly in the short term, would it be worthwhile looking again at another, even on a virtual basis, some form of conference stroke workshop again, just to really reassess where we are, what the potential challenges are going ahead, and see how we can come up with potential solutions on the back of what I believe was a very good conference the last time that yielded some very good successes out of it. But I'd like to compliment Loma and all the team in Uri in particular for the great work they do on a daily basis. And I know it's not easy, but I'm very grateful for the support that we get on a daily basis as elected reps. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mike. I know you've asked a few questions there, so maybe actually before I go to the next councillor, I'll maybe bring the housing executive back in now to try and sort of answer those if possible.
Alva's probably best placed on the majority of those. Alva, are you happy to?
Yes. Thanks, Michael, for those comments. I suppose just on a general point, I think a lot of the work that's been done over the last couple of years from the community plan and the housing conference has helped us sort of highlight the gaps in provision and where we require accommodation. And certainly we've, over the last 12 to 18 months, have received quite a lot of sites through housing association and developers where there is the potential for that need to be met. I suppose a challenge now is as these flights come to us, making sure that we have a mix of different housing options suitable for the different housing needs we have across the city. So when we're looking at some of those city centre opportunities, I suppose we need to be careful to make sure that our approach to each of the sites are balanced, and we're encouraging a mix of housing options for people in the city centre, so that you have some social housing, you have some private rented accommodation, and there's also a potential for owner occupation. So that, you know, with the housing options fit in with the broader regeneration aspirations for the city centre, and we're mindful of that when we're looking at the sites. In terms of the mixed tenure, we would fully accept that point. In a lot of the larger sites that are coming to us, we are asking associations to set aside a portion of those sites for affordable housing, and they are looking at that. In terms of intermediate or the affordable housing product in Uri at the minute, co-ownership would be the main housing association delivering that. They have a stock of 520 units, I think, across the council area, and I think we know from our stats this year that 53 of them were delivered in the last financial year. That's a little bit lower than some of the neighbouring council areas, so there's certainly potential for that, you know, to increase, and we'll certainly work with associations and developers to encourage that. With the development plans being looked at the minute, and a new plan being prepared for Newry Morning Down, we've obviously been involved with the development plan team, and we have put forward representations in relation to an affordable housing policy, and as we progress with the development plan, we'd be keen that more proposals will come through that system also.
That's great.
Can I just touch on the modular housing that you mentioned, Michael? Just to say that, the housing executive is carrying out a strategic review of temporary accommodation. Fortunately, I sit on that and I'm able to voice the concerns that we have around the supply here in Newry. So one of the options that has come out of that is to look at the modular housing. So I know we have a meeting set up with the council for Friday morning to consider that. And the reason why we would be saying that this is a viable option is that quite often whenever young people are approaching us, we're having to send them to Belfast, to Derry. The options are very limited in the south region for us. So something like modular housing, as you say, could be a flexible option for us. So we'll be keen to progress, see if we can progress that on Friday. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Amelia. Thanks, folks. Thank you.
Further than that, you're right to say about the accommodation, but it's also really important to get the support packages in as well, and we're finding that increasingly. And your other comment was about collaboration and getting things up and running again. I think that did suffer a little bit at the start of the COVID breakdown, so you know, we're very happy to participate in any of those meetings or working with the community.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Great, Johnny, thank you. Councillor Gallagher.
Hi, sure, thanks very much. Again, as I say, I reiterate what everybody is saying there in regards to the housing executive and the folks there today. It's, as I say, it's very great and it's informative and very worthwhile. One of the questions that I had put was basically, it's kind of answered a wee bit there, but it's regress update in the current new roles, the new works and the maintenance to the current housing within Sleeve Croob area, what way that is, because the maintenance, obviously, given the COVID as such, hadn't been out, and I'm just kind of querying that because I'm getting residents who are looking to get access, get someone to come out and have a look at the house as such, but they're not getting any success. I just want to know, is there an update on that, or has it been changed? Thanks.
Thank you, Hugh. I'll maybe take a question from Councillor Casey as well, and then bring the housing recommend response to the two, if that's okay. Councillor Casey, do you want to go ahead there?
Thank you very much, Chair. I welcome the report myself, although I don't think it has changed much over the last number of years. In actual fact, some of it has got actually worse when you see the amount of people who are in housing stress and the number of applicants. I do accept the fact that a number of new developments are happening in Newry. social housing associations, but and people like to get a new house, but it's been able to afford it because where there's control over the rents in housing executive property, there's no control over the rents in housing association. They can put the rent up every so often, and the money that they get from housing benefit in no way matches the raise that's likely to hit them. But having said that, the future is looking a wee bit brighter in Uri. I mean, the big blue house is gone in Canal Street, I see. Disappeared over the weekend. Lay there for 10 years and nobody said a word about it. All of a sudden, the digger came and everybody's crying. What are they doing that? And then they sort of protected it. Mm-hmm. They didn't realise it would cost maybe $5 million to bring it up to some required standard. But it'd be interesting to see what's in place here. I think part of it is for shared accommodation of people with learning difficulties or educational difficulties. I'm not too sure, but it'll definitely brighten up Canal Street. But I don't want to be too praiseworthy of the building, because the building itself was of some historical note. A number of speakers have mentioned emergency provision and temporary provision. Those are issues that definitely need addressed. I mean, if people, some person is in housing crisis and they need emergency accommodation, you've seen it yourself, Loma, they're going to be going to St. Derry or Belfast or, you know, back and beyond. I'm not being disrespectful to any part of the north when I use that particular term, but it doesn't happen. People, it frightens the life out of people. So people have children at school. How am I going to get children in school? How am I going to get to work? I mean, it's a frightening scenario for them. So it would need to be addressed. The majority of single person, as you say, are the applicants. And an issue I've raised before where a marriage is broken down and one or other of those people has left the home and they're put up in maybe a one-bedroom accommodation somewhere as they're forced in your, I'm being parochial here, in your, but they win access for the children at court and there's nowhere to take the children. They can't take the children to a one-bedroom flat in Ever Street or Sandy Street or whatever the case may be, and they can't get the opportunity to move to a two-bed flat or a two-bed house. So if there's a major application or new build for new houses, consider maybe 5 or 6 or even 10% of them two-bed houses to allow that to happen if they're social housing. And if a new development been built by a private developer, say for there's one supposed to be on the behind the five ways for something like 240 houses, the social housing aspect, I think the Assembly decided that 15% are of any big development should be for social housing, but don't have it tucked away at the corner or whatever. They need to be dispersed sympathetically throughout the whole development, because whether we like it or not, there is some snobbery everywhere in terms of having a social housing development on your door. And it's normally people who have come up from that particular place themselves. But it's still encouraging. On grounds maintenance, if we could just finish off by grounds maintenance, the lack of proper maintenance in entryways, it's a big issue with us in Uri City and been broken again, Uri City Councillors. People getting ownership, accepting ownership of entryways between Housing Executive, DOE and Council or whatever, and proper maintenance. And grass in green areas, when the grass is cut, the grass just lies there. They don't clear up off them and it's a mess. And I get that. There's a couple of big green areas not too far away from me. When the executive who owned them do get around to cutting them, it's a mess left behind. And trees, cutting trees. Although, having said that, if the grounds maintenance crew, as far as tree maintenance are concerned, are very well proactive. They've done a fair bit of work in the matter, taking diseased trees away. And maybe they will replace them with new trees. But there are some big trees on the Armagh Road, for instance, opposite Mountain View Drive, that are growing overgrown and a bit of a problem. So, by and large, it's a good report. I accept it. And once again, thanks for all you have, Loma, locally, and you and your team locally in Uri. You're definitely very helpful as far as Sinn Féin and Uri is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. So perhaps, guys, if you maybe look at those questions are from Councillor Gallagher and from Councillor Casey, if you can maybe deal with those first. Thanks.
Oh,
think you're mute there a bit. Do you have a chance to speak?
Sorry. Yeah, well, our schemes, as I said, we paused a lot of them and we're trying to get them back up and running. That specific scheme, Loma, do you know the details of it or do you want to try and get back?
Yeah, we can give you a list, Hugh, of the schemes in Slieve Croob. Mm-hmm. I think as well you were maybe referring to response maintenance, so just the ongoing maintenance of homes.
Both, to be honest, as I say, it's kind of been.
Yeah. The ongoing maintenance, now we're getting to the stage where we're seeing that we've moved beyond the emergencies, as Johnny was saying earlier. We're moved now to getting in more of the routine work. There is a bit of a backlog to it. But listen, if you have any priorities or you have any cases of tenants coming through and they need something done, don't be afraid to fire it through to us and we'll look, get a look and see. But it's just going to take a bit of time to work through the backlog. You know, the jobs that have been sitting there, but that you should see that service starting to ratchet up now.
Brilliant, that's great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I would say that to any other councillors that some of our tenants have contacted us over the last 6 months and have been very patient with us. But there's maybe some cases that are more urgent than others, and it's, you know, the tenant hasn't contacted us. So if there are some like that, we can see what we can do. In terms really then of the housing stress, I think we all agree, like, those waiting lists that we showed you, especially last year, were some of the highest that we've ever had in the history of the organisation, over 50 years. So, you know, we are seeing more and more need. So, you know, that's why we're making the case for more houses. So, you know, and we have looked at that. I think one of the issues with one bed versus two bed at the moment is really that bedroom tax issue, and, you know, making sure that people aren't overcharged. So, you know, we need to make sure that we have that difference in accommodation, that type of accommodation, but also that people can afford to pay it.
I think it might be worth John, maybe Valva.
The housing tax hasn't been introduced yet. Sorry, Chair, need to just come in. It hasn't been introduced yet. Bedroom tax.
Okay, just in relation to the new build, we've sort of 2 years been seeking to increase the proportion of two-bed units that we're supporting, just in recognition of that, you know, that being a more flexible sort of house type for the different categories of people on the waiting list. So that scheme at Craigmoor Way, which is just behind the Five Ways, there's 100 three-person two-bed houses included in that. And I suppose just generally looking at our new build schemes, we've also tried to include at least 10% accessible housing units in them, so that they're, you know, wheelchair accessible for those people on the waiting list with those, you know, requirements, that there's more sort of active stock available across the council area. In relation to the pepper potting, that's something again that we've picked up as part of our response to the local development plan, and we would be keen that there are percentages set aside in the emerging development plan for social and affordable housing, and that they're well integrated across the estate where that, you know, where that can be, where that's feasible.
Thank you, Alva. Is that all, Councillor Casey, your questions addressed there?
Yeah, sure. Happy enough for that. Just to remind Johnny again that the bedroom tax has not been introduced yet. It's mitigated against, and I think it will continue to be, so don't be using that as a scare tactic.
Okay, can we move on then? Councillor Walker, you were next there.
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. And I also welcome the report, and I want to put in record my thanks to the Down Patrick staff for their great help over the years, particularly Barona and Gareth, in that. They work wonders, you know, if you want to meet them on site and that, they will. You know, unfortunately, with the COVID-19, there is no face-to-face meetings at the minute, but I have to say, up until that, it was excellent. In relation to the housing conference that we did have, that come about because Councillor Savage had brought a motion to council. I thought that was a very worthwhile exercise. I hope that when we come out the far end of COVID-19, we could maybe have another housing conference. The reason being, at that conference, we were able to interact with different housing associations. Perfect example was that myself and Councillor Andrews spoke to a couple of housing associations, Radius and Arc Housing, in relation to social housing in Killyleagh. Subsequently, we met with a developer, the housing association, and the planners to plan a way forward for a site in Killyleagh. A planning application is now in. Now, that wouldn't have happened if we hadn't have had that planning conference. And I think it was a worthwhile exercise. And maybe when we come out the far side of COVID-19, hopefully with council and the housing associations and yourselves and the housing executive, we can have another one. Secondly, we talked there about size of properties and the number of people on the waiting list. The unfortunate thing is, they're like hen's teeth. One bed properties at the minute. And I know in Killyleagh, the only one bed properties are a few flats scattered about here and there. Maybe a couple of pensioners' bungalows that have one bed. Now, the number of people in my home town who are looking for one bed accommodation is quite serious. So it is. And the unfortunate thing is, they're on the waiting list for up to 2-3 years, some of these people, because there is nothing there. Is there anything Housing Executive is doing and working with the housing associations to see if there is new bills in areas? Can there be so many one-bedroom properties included in that? I do, and I've heard what Councillor Casey had said, and he's right, a number of people split up then, they want their kids in that. But there is a number of young people who are living home for the first time, putting their names on the list, who are just looking for a one-bed property. And as I say, they're like hen's teeth. They're not there. So they're not. The third point is, in relation to points and people being allocated houses, have the housing executive any plans to get the criteria changed in relation to points? One of my pet hates is discrimination points. They're getting colossal points for letting on they've been discriminated against. And I know areas in my own Rowallan area where people let on they've been discriminated against. They get somebody to break their window. So they do. And then they get all these points. And then they're jumping above everybody else because there's maybe a new development or there's a fancy house down the road that they like. And they end up jumping above everybody else and getting it. I think that the discrimination points needs to be looked at. So they do in relation to this, because a lot of them are swinging the lead here just to get the intimidation points, because they know the intimidation points gets them to the top of the list. And my last point is grounds maintenance. I agree with Councillor Casey. Some of it leaves a lot to be desired, so it does, particularly grass cutting when it's left. People are complaining they're walking it into their properties now. But another thing that has raised its ugly head in the Rowallan area lately is the number of trees that the housing executive have planted in housing estates. They're now starting to damage. Myself and Councillor Andrews actually had met with Hugh Morgan there a couple of weeks ago in Killyleagh in relation to these trees that has been planted in housing estates. Shirigley's one example. All the footways are now starting to come up and be uneven. A number of people have fell, so they have, and broken limbs because of it. Now, surely, we in the past have asked for these trees to be removed or something done. Nothing has happened. And now it's really getting out of hand, because your flagstones is lifting, your asphalt's starting to crack. There's holes coming in that because of it and that. I think, you know, before there's trees planted in an area, they should make sure it is nowhere near a footpath. So as 5, 10, 15 years down the line, that these footways and that. And as I say, DFI are not too happy because Hugh Morgan had stated themselves that, for example, if someone falls in that, they claim of the DFI, it's not the housing executive. And Hugh will be writing to yourselves in relation to it and that. So I think we should be considering where we plant our trees whenever we're out doing that type of stuff.
Thank you, Lily. I'm going to be asked County Owen to come in before I hand over to the executive. Catherine, do you want to come in there? Are you on?
Thanks very much. Sorry, you caught me just eating something sneakily. So listen, I want to say thanks very much, Brona, to the Downpatrick team. As a new councillor, you've been absolutely incredible, holding my hand. The number of stupid questions I have picked up the phone and asked, and silly emails, you've been a great support and you've helped me with so much. And certainly over the COVID, you've definitely stepped up to the plate to help me as well. So some of the questions sort of have been hinted on before, but one thing though that I did pick up on, something that's really close to my heart, obviously, we have a lot of veterans that would be homeless and things like that as well. So I'm just wondering how we're getting on with the rough sleepers. Did we manage to get most of them all sorted out and some form of accommodation for them? The second thing is just picking up on Councillor Savage and William Walker, and I think as well Charlie maybe mentioned it as well, is to do with the maintenance of the surrounding areas. I have been in touch over hanging trees and grass cuttings and things like that as well. So there's one in Ballinahinch and there's one in Sainfield that seems to be a bit of an issue. No problems as far as the maintenance of the homes themselves. The big ones that I'm getting then is the surrounding area with trees and things like that. And then the other thing as well, the final thing is how do I find out, again, as somebody sort of fairly new on the ground, how do I find out about new sites and new schemes and things like that we have in the pipeline, just in my area in particular? If somebody could let me know how I would find that. And then just following on from Andy's comment of, yeah, if there's any other phone numbers there that you could forward to me, I would really appreciate that. And thanks very much, guys.
Thank you, Catherine. I suppose, yes, if we can bring the housing sector back in, but just beforehand, I think, yeah, Councillor McMurray made a good point there. I think, Loma, you were hoping to circulate a new, is that a new number you were going to send to Cadogan, or is that the standard numbers you've always used? But perhaps it might be a good reminder to all members, if you'd be happy to send those numbers to the Democratic Services, they could circulate them round the whole council, which would be useful. So please, you come back in there and deal with a couple of questions there. Thanks.
I think if you can hear me okay, I think the point around we talked about points there again, and Gunny mentioned earlier around the fundamental review of allocations, and we do hope to hear something from the department hopefully later on this year. It might be good if you say something about how we pull together the SHDP and the programme there, and maybe then Loma and Johnny a wee bit around rough sleepers and maintenance.
Yeah, no problem. So in relation to putting together the programme, so we carry out a review of the waiting list and identify the gaps where there's housing need each year, and then we share that information with housing associations and they identify sites hopefully in those areas to try and address that need. The information is contained in the Commission prospectus, and just picking up on your point, William, it sort of outlines the different types of households in the different areas and the kind of housing mix that we'd be looking, and that would include one beds, two beds, three beds, four beds, and also the need for accessible housing. So we prepare the programme every year for ministerial approval, and that's it's usually submitted to the department for approval in December. But the site search work goes on all the time, and we're constantly working with associations and other public sector organisations to identify any lands that might be available in areas where we have a housing need. In terms of the how do you find out about what's happened specifically in your area, One of the outworkings of the Housing Aid Conference was our engagement with the DEA forum that has been set up by the council. Now, we would have had hoped to have met with each of the DEAs between May and September, or between March and September this year, to discuss the site identification studies that have taken place, and also to talk about the different work that's been done in relation to new build. That hasn't happened, but we'll hopefully schedule it in to take place between now and early January. And that will be an opportunity to get together with the councillors in each of the DEAs and just have a look and see what's been delivered, what's planned, and the kind of areas that we're working on, being mindful of the three-year programme.
Maybe if Loma and Danny
can talk
about the
grounds. Yeah, I'll give you a little. The grounds maintenance was an issue last year and this year. The grounds maintenance team, I'm going to ask them to, if you send me through the details, Loma, we'll know them. Maybe take a look at those. We do these estate inspections, and our grounds maintenance teams also go around just inspecting them. So again, if there's specific, especially if they're creating some sort of danger, we would need to know about those, get it sorted out immediately. So certainly we can pick those up. But you know, we would want to have the same grounds maintenance standards as we do in our own standards as well. I suppose it has been we had a bit of a pause during COVID. We weren't going out, but after Easter we were out inside, and August has been an especially wet month. But that doesn't stop us going out and cutting trees and things like that. So that we'll pick that up. As I said earlier, we did some great work with the rough sleepers. So maybe Loma could just update us on where that is.
Yes, the board, the Housing Executive Board, decided to give approval to house our rough sleepers and those people who aren't normally have access to public funds. So working really closely with the council and with the police, in total we have rehoused in temporary accommodation, I will point out, 12 rough sleepers. Now, 6 of those rough sleepers since that date have been repatriated through their own choice, wanting to go back to their own countries. We actually as well had 2 rough sleepers who we managed to find employment for in Prague. So we arranged with the Welcome Centre in Belfast to purchase their flights, and they went to jobs in Prague. They'd actually been brought here under false pretenses that there would be jobs available for them in Warm Point, and they arrived here and did nothing. We have some of our long-term rough sleepers as well, housed in temporary accommodation. So there is a commitment from the department to continue to house them during the pandemic. The long-term consequences for them obviously we'll still have to work on, and I know the organisation's working really closely with the department to see what the options are. But, you know, basically there's, at the moment we have 4 in temporary accommodation.
Thank you, Loma. Okay, we'll move on to another question. David, or do you want to come back in there? Is that okay?
No, happy to take another question, yeah.
Okay, perfect. I think Councillor Clark, you were in next there.
Still on, thanks, Chair. I'll get turned on here. First of all, I'd like to again echo comments from other councillors in regards to, Loma and her team, Owen and Bronan, the entire Housing Executive team. You know, they're a pleasure to work with, and if they can assist you, they will assist you. So I want to put that on record also. In regards to the all-party motion and the housing symposium, I think it was a good success, and I do think we had a good bit of cohesion in regards to getting some houses on the ground. I think it would be useful to have that second meeting in some sort of format, and has already been outlined the first stage that's going to be through the DEA. So we'll maybe get that feedback and maybe do something with that at that stage. Justin Billy's talking about the tree planting. I would welcome the schemes, the tree planting schemes that's been taking place. We have to mitigate climate change, and by planting more trees, we're actually reducing flooding as well. So I welcome that, not on the beside carriageways and stuff like that, because I know the Housing Executive were actually cutting trees from some carriageways and across in Pinewood View in Newcastle, and it caused a lot of anger. People came out and tried to stop them cutting the trees there, and they were actually damaging the footpaths, you know. So it's getting that balance right in regards to removing trees. But I've seen a lot of, you know, good planting schemes and pruning of poor trees. And I'd like to thank, I think it's Niall, is it? The guy is leading that up.
Neil, yep, Neil.
Neil?
Yeah.
I think he was a bit shocked that day in Newcastle, but he's doing a bit more consulting now. But no, as I say, I welcome that approach from the housing executive. In regards to, I suppose, the issues, and it's generally the same issues that generally come up. You know, there's a lack of temporary housing in Newcastle. Vulnerable people, you know, having to move away from their family support. You know, people with a range of complex needs being taken away from their homes, and it does cause a lot of difficulties. That so anything that, you know, helps and assists in that would be appreciated. There's still the issue about support packages, and there was mentioned there about support packages required for vulnerable citizens. And if you look at the Newcastle flats, it's the same issues, the Bracken Avenues and the Burndale. There's vulnerable citizens in there. They don't seem to be getting the support packages that they need. I'm not saying that they're not there, but there just seems to be issues when somebody gets a house, they're not able to look after themselves. And then they're sort of victims themselves. People, they let people into their houses, and then there's party houses, and then there's issues with it. And then, you know, other residents, responsible residents, then are leaving the flats. And, you know, it's a vicious cycle. And I know we've had many meetings and trying to discuss how we resolve it. It just seems to be the need for some sort of warden or something, you know, to keep an eye on these issues, you know. The maintenance issue you mentioned is the communal areas, the flats, you know, and that, some of that's down to COVID, I understand that, but the entries and the laneways, always an issue. Burndale and Laura, the chair, you'll know that as well. The laneways and Bracken Avenue and the Burndale, they're still an issue, you know. And council are bad. Council aren't cleaning them either. So it's not just all housing executive. But there just doesn't seem to be that regular maintenance moving forward. You know, that all government departments are doing what they have to do. It just doesn't seem to be happening. And the last point, Chair, is just in regards to the flats that are nearly completed. You know, at the Burndale, again, this is the last group of houses that was destroyed in arson attack. There was a series of arson attacks a long, long time ago now. It seems a lifetime ago now. It was near the last mandate of council. But I think we have to ensure that the citizens are getting these houses or these units. They have to be responsible moving forward. And how we do that, and how, I know there's a common selection process, but we have to ensure that we do not have the same people back in them flats, you know, that destroyed the flats. And I'm not getting into what they were doing. I think it's well known in regards to a number of them in drug dealing and stuff like that. You know, so we know the types of people were in them. So we need to ensure that the people goes into them. It's people who need units. It's the people who stay in temporary accommodation, hostels in Belfast and Derry and Dunpatrick, where some people stay. We need to get them people back, you know, and living in their hometown with the support services in place. But thanks, Anne-Marie, Chair, and thanks to the team.
Thank you. Willie, Loma, was there issues that you want to come back in on?
Yes. I'll pick up just on something Councillor Clark had said there about the support packages, and it links actually to those flats that have just, they're about to be completed. So we're hoping to have those flats completed by the end of September, and we're actually going to nominate them for a Housing First programme. So we've never done Housing First in South Down area. Anybody who's not familiar with it, it's basically where you provide accommodation to people. So the idea is you give them their housing first, and once they get their tenancy, then you look at wrapping really intensive support around them. So you bring in a support provider, and it's not like your normal floating support where you maybe make a phone call once a week. This will be intensive support. So, Willie, we have nominated those. There's a meeting on Friday, and I'm hoping we'll hear more from central policy team to see can we get those through. And that will hopefully help you know, with ensuring that we get some stability there. We will continue to work closely with the police around other antisocial behaviour issues, but we're hoping that having a block of 8 flats never really happens. So yeah, this is an opportunity, I think. You know, I think it's an opportunity we need to grab.
That's great. No, Mike, it's very good to hear. I know Willie and I will be delighted if we can get those properties allocated in a way that sort of mitigates against the problems we've had previously. So that would be something that's very, very welcome. Okay, folks, we've had a lot of questions there, and I want to thank Jonathan, Loma, David and Alba for attendance this evening. I know we had some technical issues at the start, but we really appreciate that, and we look forward to the next meeting.
Can I thank you as well? I have to say that I've been able to hear everybody the whole way through this. And the firm as well as to listen to the conversation. So thank you for the opportunity to participate.
Thank you, David.
And can I just thank everybody, just all the councillors and council officials that we work with throughout the year. I think we do have a good working relationship, and I'll circulate contact numbers just to make contact easier in the COVID period. But we are fully open for business, so if there's any issues at all, please feel free to come to me and let me know.
Thanks, Loma.
Look.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Okay, thanks, everyone.
Thanks,
appreciate all. Okay, thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.